from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, man, let's go around the NFL. Let's start with the latest. Is there a latest? I guess there is.
It still ain't done?
It still ain't done. Brandon Ayuk. Let's listen to Adam Schefter's latest on Brandon Ayuk.
Not going to be a team that wants to trade for Brandon Ayuk when it has to give up as many assets as it does without having him under contract long term, not at this stage right now. And so that leaves both sides in a tough spot because there are teams out there that are willing to compensate the 49ers to their satisfaction, but that's not where Brandon Ayuk would like to go. And there are teams that are willing to make Brandon Ayuk happy, but it's not what the 49ers are getting back in return that would make them happy. So I think when you step back and assess the situation, a lot of people around the league believe that the 49ers are not going to be in any rush here to make a move, despite the fact that everybody's waiting for a breathless update, waiting to see when and if Brandon Ayuk will be traded. He might be, and he might be soon, but they are not rushing into anything right now. They're going to take their time, be deliberate, and see what's out there before they make any move at all, because they do know that they would be moving on from a very good wide receiver.
You called this, I got to give you credit, early on, you were saying this has all the markings, this has all the characteristics of the Deshaun Watson thing.
It was like a Deshaun Watson sweepstakes.
Yeah.
Hey, let me get all of these teams bidding for me.
Yeah.
Let me try to get the most money.
But I ain't going unless I get a guarantee.
Yeah, let me go to the best place that's going to offer me the most money.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the most guaranteed money.
The Browns are going to mess around and get screwed again.
They are the ones that will get screwed out of rather than Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, they point to their logo and be like, look, we ain't paying nobody all that money.
Yeah.
But you're going to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's your money right there. We a brand.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's taking so long. I think maybe Ayuk trying to get more guaranteed, or maybe try to get over $30 million or something like that. And Pittsburgh really don't do stuff like that.
Well, I mean,
but the Browns do.
Yeah. The Pittsburgh, obviously, they all pay money, real money. But Pittsburgh isn't going to be told what to do.
They don't overpay for people.
And they're not going to be told what to do.
Yeah.
They're like, we'll pay you. This is what we're paying you.
This is the line right here. So Cleveland don't have that line, unfortunately, because a lot of people don't want to play in Cleveland. So they have to overpay people to get them there. So I don't know. It just smelled like a whole Deshaun Watson sweepstakes all over again, but the receiver version.
It doesn't really affect the Texans or us very much. You know, ultimately he'll be in the AFC with Pittsburgh and or Cleveland
Either or can have them. They ain't better than us.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
So that's cute.
But it's just fascinating, and it's so reminiscent. Like the Steelers, whether it's Mike Tomlin or whomever, they're playing the role of Nick Caserio. I ain't going to be pushed around. This is what we're going to do. Yeah. And then Ayuk and his representation is playing the role of no. We know you got you over a barrel. We know we ain't ever playing in San Francisco again.
Yeah.
So it's just butting of heads.
Yeah, and not to mention, the Browns still have Amari Cooper, and so I know he got to feel some type of way, seeing that he could be traded to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And now at that point, let's say the deal don't go through, mm-hmm. and he do go to Pittsburgh. Now, if I'm Amari Cooper, I'm like, man, I don't want to be here.
Exactly.
Like, and he's trying to get a contract too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm like, man, like, why do I want to play here then?
Yeah.
Maybe he's the ultimate professional where he just going to go to work and play and go somewhere next year. But, mm-hmm. yeah, that was kind of similar to what happened with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Also around the NFL, also in Cleveland. And this is not necessarily like huge NFL news. It just got me thinking about us here locally, a couple things that I mentioned. The Browns are getting a brand new stadium. It's been released. It's going to be an indoor stadium. I'm sure you looked at it.
Yeah.
It looks pretty damn sweet.
It looks pretty damn sweet.
It's not going to be as frigid in Cleveland anymore. And what it got me thinking about, again, kind of localizing it here, I've mentioned this a couple of times, and I'm not on anybody's payroll over there. It's just me saying what I think. I'm just going to double down. I really feel like it's time for the Texans to do some major upgrades because everybody, it's all about making it the fan experience, you know, and getting fans to the stadium, not in their man caves, which are so elaborate now, and bars and all that. I'm not even mentioning, let's forget the Astrodome. We all know how I feel about that, how a lot of Houston feels about that. I'm just saying, I think it's time. It's one of the older stadiums in the league now that has not been renovated or redone. I really think in the next year or so, we need to start thinking about that. I know the Texans probably will.
Yeah, I think so, too, because the Browns, when they built their stadium, they came back in 99.
Mm-hmm.
The Houston Texans came back in 02.
Yeah.
So it's not that far off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Cleveland was in a tricky situation, too, because they want to get a dome.
Yeah.
Because you could do a lot more, you know, events and stuff like that, mm-hmm. if you have a dome. But it's too much money to put a dome on that that stadium off the lake. So I think it make more sense for them to not renovate that and mm-hmm. just build a whole new stadium for that price.
Yeah.
But
and they don't need to build a new stadium. Now, it'll be very expensive.
Yeah.
But like a really good destination point type redo.
Yeah, yeah. That's all they need. They don't need to tear that down and
build
another
one. Of course,
we'd
like for them to tear down the Astrodome. It would give I'm not going to go there.
Right,
but
you go.
No, I guess I can't help myself. I guess I can't help it. But of course it would be better. But I'm saying even if you eliminate that, there is it needs to be a better destination.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you was there for pretty much all of the games there since it's been here.
Yeah.
Did they do anything different since then?
They've done little stuff. A couple of little upgrades. But you look at stadiums now and it's not just like me wanting a better experience. Because I have a great experience at NRG. It's more than fine. It's a very good stadium. But these days, you look in Dallas, you look in San Francisco, look where Cleveland is doing, look what Jacksonville is doing. Like, the NFL realizes that fans are staying home because it's a better experience for them at home.
Yeah, and it's funny. I seen something on Twitter. I think it was some type of list that was going around that mm-hmm. was ranking them the most, I think the top 100 stadiums and arenas everywhere, like all three sports. And I think I seen NRG probably like 88.
I can see that.
And I was just
it's
like,
not a dump. It's a fine stadium.
It's a great stadium. Yeah. I like it. I like going there. But to me, going to that stadium, it's kind of old school.
Yeah.
And I'm using old school loosely. It's old school, meaning it was built in the 2000s.
Yeah.
And I felt like looking at, you know, the Las Vegas Raiders stadium and mm-hmm. looking at the stadium in L.A., just all of these new upgraded stadiums.
Yeah.
It's like, man, we ain't got to tear it down and build something brand new, but let's update. Let's get a big update to it.
No,
let's upgrade it.
I think we absolutely could. Again, I don't have it. I mean, I'll be fine whether they do or not. I just think it's time. Let me ask you this. How does this make you feel? Do you feel a certain way, as the kids like to say, when you see this? So the best player at every position, so only 22, AFC, NFC, all 32 NFL teams were picked, and they picked one player to be the, quote, breakout player of the year at that position. Now, I'm not going to go through all the positions, but it did interest me. The one quarterback that they picked in the entire NFL to break out this year is Anthony Richardson.
That's a little scary for me, man. That's a little scary. I know, I think it was last year, during the draft and all that stuff, I know you weren't too big on Anthony Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, I felt like, man, if they can just unlock something out of him,
mm-hmm.
he's going to be a beast.
Yeah,
he got all of that.
Yeah.
As you know, he's a dream type of quarterback. But as far as like throwing the ball and being accurate, I think accuracy
was my big problem with
him. Yeah, and I don't know if you can just teach accuracy.
Yeah,
but I'm like, dang, if he can find that,
yeah.
He might move over Josh Allen. He's going to be way better than him.
Yeah, and he's big like that.
Yeah, so I just – my worry is if they can unlock something out of him.
Yeah. And you know, I think the Colts are the biggest threat.
Yeah.
The Colts are, to me –
he's going to be a scary dude, man.
The biggest threat. One dude he's not going to be thrown to, at least for 6 or 7 weeks, if not longer, is Josh Downs. So kind of a downer.
He's down.
Josh Downs is down. What was the injury? I didn't write it down. I think it's, I can't remember. I think it was like a hammy or something like that. But they say he's going to miss at least the first 6 games. And that includes the Texans, obviously, once. And then they play him again in October. So he may have missed both games.
So they down the receiver.
Ankle injury.
Ankle. That's what it was. That was a high ankle sprain. Yeah, that's what it was. A high ankle sprain. How does this make you feel? Talking about making you feel a certain way. Nick Foles, with an announcement, after much thought and prayer, I've decided to retire from the NFL. It's been an incredible 11-year journey filled with unforgettable moments. We have it?
Yeah, we got it.
Let's play it.
Crazy to be in this moment, looking at this camera, officially announcing my retirement from the NFL. From the first day I was born, my dad put a football in my hand. He must have known something because that became a dream of mine since I've been a kid to play in the NFL, and I will be forever grateful for that. It's been such a special privilege to play for Philadelphia, St. Louis, Kansas City, Jacksonville, Chicago, and Indianapolis. To the fans of the NFL around the world, thank you for making the game so special. Y'all are the ones that bring the energy in the stadiums.
I don't know.
Thank you. Specifically, thank you to the Philadelphia Eagles fans. Thank you for all your support from 2012 when I was drafted to 2017 when I came back. You truly made playing in Philadelphia the most special experience in my football career. To all the coaches.
All right. So Austin's own, Austin Westlake High School, Nick Foles. How's he going to be remembered?
He's going to be remembered from that Philly special.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
That's all I could think of.
He's set for now. He played a long time.
He
bounced around, played
but
pretty
that
well.
That Philly special.
Yep.
He came in and it was Carson Wentz. Remember Carson Wentz having an MVP type of season? I think he got hurt.
Yeah.
Nick Foles stepped in and pretty much took that team to won a Super Bowl, man. Yeah.
So this goes back to that conversation we had with Sean and us about, you know, would you rather have Andre's career or Edelman? I wouldn't rather have Nick Foles' career, but I think what it does illustrate is you win a Super Bowl, and if you're intimately involved in a big play that wins a Super Bowl, set for life.
Yeah, no, he's good, especially in Philly. He ain't got to buy anything else in Philly.
No, he's set for life.
Yeah, but me personally, I just rather take that gold jacket. Man.
No,
gold jacket, man.
Yeah, no, we you know, obviously, I disagreed with Edelman. No question, I would take the gold jacket over Nick Foles. But I'm just saying that dude is set.
Yeah,
he had his one shining moment, so to speak, to cross reference.
And obviously, he ain't no Hall of Famer, but I mean, if I knew I wasn't going to be a Hall of Famer, at least let me have a moment like that where I took a team to a Super Bowl and it was part of that Super Bowl run.
And that incredible play as well.
I settled with that.
So would you rather have Andre Johnson's career or Jameis Winston's? I'm kidding. But Jameis is a national treasure. Like he is a goofball and just does Jameis things. So So today, I think it was today, he had his moment. He had his moment in front of the media, and he was really breaking down the X's and O's. He was really talking hard-nosed football, you know, the pigskin. Well, let's hear him.
I think that's one of the things that a lot of people forget. When you can go out, you can see practice, you can knick-knack this, that, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. Deshaun Watson is going to turn it on. He always going to find a way to shine when the lights come on. Man, I just rhymed. Oh my, can I leave off that one? I know that one's going to hit.
Nick Caserio dropped the ball, man. He should have signed Jameis Winston.
Oh,
he should have released Davis Mills. Get Tim Boyle out of here. He should have signed Jameis Winston, man. Just off of this alone.
Yes.
That dude is so entertaining, man.
He is the best.
One thing I appreciate about Jameis Winston, too, is he was the number one overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like once he left Tampa Bay,
yeah,
he just became this guy that was willing to be the backup.
Yeah.
He didn't hang his hat on, I'm the number one overall pick, or mm-hmm. I choose where I go.
He's himself.
Yeah.
He's himself.
It looked like he's totally happy, too.
He doesn't care. Like,
I like that,
man. When you get football insight from Jameis Winston, there's a pretty good chance you're going to get him saying, you can knick-knack this, that, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. like you can pretty much guarantee that you're going to get that. He's just a treasure. Let's hear that again. It's incredible. He's the best. Jameis Winston. Oh, man. You can knick-knack this, that, paddy.
Knick-knack this, that, paddywhack, give a dog a bone.
God bless him. God bless our guy, Jameis Winston. All right, so let's get to the internet going nuts. And, I mean, it's like a serious story. It's a very serious story. The most serious story. But, of course, I might have to ask a question that is maybe not so serious. And I think Figgy Fig and Chris Santiago are going to agree with me. The internet is going to go nuts next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I got the internet going nuts.
Yeah, man. So not a very pleasant story, not a very fun story. In fact, a very scary story, but the internet is going nuts and this is what we do. And I'm going to try to not make light of it, but maybe bring up something that I think you're going to agree with. So Taylor Swift, you saw this, of course.
Yeah.
Was it three concerts in Austria that were canceled? Because apparently there was a legitimate threat. In fact, there were arrests of potential terrorists or terrorists that were planning or hoping to do something at the stadium venue. Like, first of all, this is like we all know you can never be totally comfortable in big environments like that.
Yeah,
but it's very real and very scary.
Very scary. Even without all the other extra stuff, just being around that millions and millions of people is scary.
Yeah.
For me, at least.
And for anybody. And I don't care if you have security or not or whatever. But my mind going in weird places like it occasionally does, I thought, I don't care if you're ISIS or whomever. Ain't no terrorists want to mess with the Swifties.
Yeah.
I mean... I was telling you, they'll create their own army, like the Swifty SEALs, like the Navy SEALs, or something like.
Yeah, nah, they get down, man. They will defend Taylor Swift. So I ain't going against no Swifties.
Ain't
man. Nobody
want to mess with the Swifties. Like it's scary, but and I guess. There are still updates going on or whatever, but
that's scary, man. Mm-hmm. Prayers to everybody, but
and
that's
she's got to be terrified.
Yeah, because that's the other thing too, man. These type of events, you go there to get away, to enjoy. You don't want to go through all of this stuff, man. Like that's the last thing on your mind is thinking about a possible terrorist attack happening at a freaking concert, a game.
Fun.
Yeah.
A getaway.
That's the last time you think about that type of stuff, man. And it being a threat.
Yeah.
It's just so scary, man. It make people question and think about like, maybe I don't want to go to a concert because of this. It's like that's not cool, man.
I gotta tell you, even as much as it's happened, sadly, all over the country, all over the world, I still don't really think about. Do you ever go to like a big venue, a big crowd, and kind of go, "Ooh, I wonder."
I do that all the time.
Really?
Like the last time I went to a concert, it wasn't a big concert, but it was at Warehouse Live, and who did I see? I seen my boy Dende.
Mm-hmm.
He was performing, and I wasn't like in the front. I was like towards the back.
Yeah.
Where it was a lot of room because I can't be around like a tough crowd like that. Mm-hmm. Where it's just surrounded by people just in case a fight break out and I want to get trampled. I'd be sitting like far by the door just in case, so I could just dip out and leave whenever. But that's just me. I guess I got a weird brain at times, man. I start thinking about all of the possible stuff. Just
I think
in case
maybe
stuff
I'm.
To happen.
I think maybe I'm just naive, or I block it out, or whatever. I go into big, stadiums and concerts and all that. And I mean, I'm not gonna say I've never thought about like, maybe even kidding around. This looks like whatever. I don't think about it.
Sometimes I get to a point when I'm out at dinner,
mm-hmm.
I gotta sit in a place where I see the exit, where I see the door.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So I see everybody that come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm the same way, man. I mean, when it comes down to like shows or even movies, like I try to just like, and when I go out to eat, I want to sit to see like who's walking in, who's leaving, because it's like I always want to be aware of like what might pop off. You never know.
Yeah. And I think maybe it's PTSD too, because like I've been robbed before. I was robbed when I was like 17, mm-hmm. leaving KFC. I just got off of work and I was like so unprepared. And I don't know if people be prepared for a robbery or nothing, but like I just had no chance to get away at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And from that point on, I like watch everything.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a little bit of PTSD.
Yeah. Maybe. All right, so like this was, you know how much of the Olympics I've watched in my life. Like I've just lived it. This might be the greatest comeback. This might be the greatest comeback in the history of the Olympics in the men's 400.
He's fading badly at this point, Lee.
Jareem Richards on the outside. Matthew Hudson Smith.
I love it.
If you haven't, seen this race, make it a point to see this race. Dude was in fifth place, yeah. Like coming around the last turn.
I've seen this highlight a few times, and yeah. Just watching it right now, I was smiling. I was just like, "Go, go, go, go!"
And it's the 400.
Yeah.
Have you ever run the 400?
No.
It is the hardest race. I don't care if you're.
It's the reason why I never did that.
Middle school. I had to run it in high school, man.
Oh man.
And you get around that last turn. And that trailer just jumps on your back. And this fool is just,
man,
picking them off.
Hawked them, man.
He was just picking them off.
He was looking like DK Metcalf to Buda Baker.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that might be the greatest comeback I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's been some epic comebacks and performances in this Olympics for Team USA.
Yeah. See what he said afterwards?
What'd he say?
Perfect. The perfect quote. They were asking about the big comeback, and I couldn't find the audio, so I'll just read it. He said, "You can't outrun a dog. A dog will chase you forever."
Hey, that's facts, man. As a kid that been chased by many dogs, you cannot outrun a dog, man.
You cannot.
The most you could do is jump on top of a car.
A truck. Get in the bed of a truck.
Yep, just jump on the car.
Get in the bed of a truck. That was awesome. I'm probably going to watch it 10 more times before I get away from that. So what's up with rapper Nelly?
So 50-year-old rapper Nelly, who is currently waiting on his child to be born by singer Ashanti,
mm-hmm.
was arrested in possession of ecstasy and
Lord.
Lack of assurance. And the first thing I thought about is this dude is still doing ecstasy. Like that's so 2000-ish. Like I didn't think people was doing ecstasy still. That's
I've never done it. I didn't know it was still around.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
I guess he keeping it in business.
Yeah.
But, dog, what is you doing, man?
He's doing X, man.
Man, you 50 years old, man.
He's doing X.
Yeah, this was a bad look for him, man.
Too old to be doing that, man.
That's exactly what everybody else kept saying. Like, why is he 50 years old with a baby
young
on
girl.
The way?
He's got that young girl.
With a baby on the way.
Yeah. But he's got to keep up, man.
Man, that girl about his age.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, the girl he's with.
Maybe I was just assuming wrong.
Yeah, Ashanti, they all was around in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, what are you doing, man? Like, you too old for that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to look at people when they get caught up with stuff like this. Like, dog, you too old to be doing
what are
this.
You doing?
When I see somebody older, like, trying to fight.
Oh,
like,
God.
Dog, why is you trying to fight, man?
It's kind of funny sometimes, but...
Yeah, if you over the age of 25, you should not be out here trying to fight. Like, I'm not saying... Look, you could defend yourself, of course.
Yeah.
But people that's just out there trying to... Just want to pick a fight... Like, dog,
there's a lot of aggressive people out there.
Yeah, sit your old ass down somewhere, man. Why are you trying to fight?
A lot of aggressive people out there. I finally saw the pictures of Marcus Jordan. Explain this. Dude, that is... embarrassing, man.
Yeah, so Marcus Jordan, son of legendary NBA player Michael Jordan, was seen with a white powder, snorting the white powder during the poolside lunch in south of France. So, he did it. He smiled and was having a good time with his friends.
Dude's doing coke, man.
That was a lot of coke. That was a spoonful.
That was a lot of coke. That was like Scarface coke.
Yeah,
like
that was. That's a little scary. Somebody on the text line brought it up a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do people still be doing coke like that, especially with that amphetamine going on?
Yeah. Oh
like,
yeah.
That's scary.
What do they
man.
Put in it? What's that drug that kills people?
Yeah.
No. Is it? What is it? It's something. Not that.
Fentanyl.
Fentanyl.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Fentanyl. Like, yeah, that's. I would not be doing that.
No, like, you can die. Like you could die where you're sitting.
A lot of people die instantly because of that.
Yeah.
So him getting a spoonful like that. Yeah.
No. Thank you.
Yeah, I can't even do the little spray stuff for my allergies in my nose. I can't sniff up nothing.
That's the other thing. I don't even like doing that.
I don't like putting nothing in my nose
when you get like congested or something.
Yeah, that little spray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't even do that, man. I can't see how people do coke.
And this has got the internet going nuts, and it turned into a whole thing earlier about like famous people that you didn't know you were in the presence of. You had another story. What was the other story you had?
Yeah, so my wife back in Cleveland, my wife used to work at Starbucks, and every day a guy used to come through named Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ordered the same thing, and one day he was they were talking and he was like, hey, you guys want to go to the Cavs watch party? They watching the Cavs game at Quicken Loans.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah, I'll go.
And so got the ticket. I'm like, dang, we were in a suite.
Yeah.
So I'm like, these some good tickets. Who is the guy? She was like, I don't know.
Dave.
Dave. He just worked for the Cavs. I don't know what he do.
Yeah.
And then so later on, she came back to me. She like, oh, I know what Dave do. He's the general manager.
What?
And I'm like, the general manager? And I'm like, the GM? I'm like, the GM is David Griffin.
Yeah.
And I ain't put two and two together, so I Googled his name and showed her.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at the phone. She said, yeah, that's Dave.
Oh, Dave.
I'm like, that's the general manager. The
GM's giving you sweet tickets for a watch party.
I'm like, I know exactly who that is.
Mine was, and I'm still embarrassed about it, although he probably just had a good laugh. So 2002, I was covering the Salt Lake City Winter Olympics, and they brought in the Olympic flag, and it had legendary, iconic people in culture carrying the flag, like Desmond Tutu, Lech Walesa, Steven Spielberg, et cetera, et cetera. And so I was up at the press box area, you know, above Rice-Eccles Stadium in Salt Lake, and I was in the back of the room, and Steven Spielberg stood next to me. And I'm like, well, damn. And so there were two dudes standing kind of in front of me, a little bit to my side. It was Steven Spielberg and this older dude. And I said hello to the gentleman and didn't really give him the time of day after that. I mean, Steven Spielberg was there.
Yeah.
So I was chatting it up with him. I
move
mean, like,
out the way, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. Can you move
the
out of
the
way?
The real star is
I'm
right here.
I'm trying to talk to a star here.
Somebody that's more important.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm talking to Steven Spielberg. He couldn't have been nicer. And it wasn't even really about movies, just chatting it up. He was asking me about what I was doing there and all that. It was just really cool, like a good 10 minutes, because the press conference was still going on, the previous one. So finally that ends. I actually get him to sign my opening ceremony ticket. I still have it in my office, signed by Steven Spielberg. So cool, from the Olympics, from the day that he was carrying the flag. So they go up to the press box, and it's Steven Spielberg and the old dude. And as soon as I saw him really in a, you know, in good light, I'm like, oh crap. I snubbed John Glenn. The first dude to circle the earth. One of the from the right stuff. One of the greatest test pilots in history. A senator ran for president. Like, I was just like, yeah, I was like elbowing him. I want to talk to Steven. Well, something similar happened to John Smoltz in Atlanta, by the way. In Atlanta, this happened to John Smoltz.
So I came in, I parked. They told us where to park. We park where the cone is. Well, there was an open spot. I parked where it was open, and I was on the phone talking.
Imagine that.
And I was waiting for Frenchy, you know? I was waiting for him to come so we could walk in together. And one of the valet guys came to the window. I rolled it down. I said, can I park here, or do you want me to move the cone? And he goes, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm calling the game. He goes, are you an umpire? I'm like, I thought, all right, right away I look for cameras because I know, you know.
You're getting punked.
I guarantee it this is what's happening. And then I realized he straight-faced me and has no idea who I am. And I said, no, no, I'm...
How old was he?
Well, this is what I said next. I said, I'm broadcasting the game. And he looked at me like, well... I said, you must be very young.
My picture's on the side of the stadium. My number's retired in the rafters.
My favorite part of you telling that story is when you're like, I'm sure he's a nice kid.
I'm sure he's a nice kid.
It happens, man.
I need to see JJ Watt get snubbed like that.
Oh, that'd on be NRG. Awesome.
Hey, sir, do you have a pass?
You can't come
sir,
in here.
Sir, you can't come in here, sir.
Can't come in here. Who do you think
Where's
you are?
Where's your pass?
Who do you think you are? All right, guys. This is a good one. We're going into tomorrow. We're playing football.
Game day.
Tomorrow we're playing football, and I think there's something of a secret weapon that we haven't even been talking about. Let's get to that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, we're talking about a secret weapon here, and I am being 100% serious. Quiet dude. We're talking about so many players. I mean, the Texans are hot right now, man. I mean, the Texans are the thing in this city. All due respect to the Astros. People going nuts. CJ Stroud, Tank Dell, Stefanda. We can go through the whole list. Nobody's talking about nobody's talking about Danielle Hunter.
And see, it's wild to say that too.
Yes.
Because they paid him a nice little chunk.
And we were excited when it happened.
That was a big signing.
Like, we talked a lot about him when it happened.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't say we glossed over that signing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like whenever we talk about defensive ends, we bring up the TJ Watts, the Miles Garrett, the Khalil Mack. We bring up all of these guys. And nobody really bring up Danielle Hunter like that.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned those three guys. That's what I was really looking at, because the reason it kind of occurred to me, like, this dude is gonna be a beast potentially, when you consider, like, you know, Will Anderson on the other side, what he's been, D'Amico, you know, all the other, you know, players and really good players on the defense. Because he was talking to Kay Adams, and shout out to Kay Adams. We really need to give her credit because we used a couple things of hers today. She's a real good interviewer.
She was making the rounds.
She's a really good interviewer. But I was like, all right, let me look at this. So I looked at the current active leaders, sack leaders in the NFL, and three of the most prominent names you just mentioned, like Khalil Mack, 34 sacks in his last three seasons. Miles Garrett, 46 sacks in his last three seasons. TJ Watt, 47 sacks in his last three seasons. And then I looked at Danielle Hunter. Now, he missed a lot of games 1 year. So the way I'm going to frame it is his last three full seasons.
Yeah.
The last three times he played a full season, 41 sacks. He's right there with Miles Garrett, TJ Watt, and Khalil Mack. And they don't have Will Anderson on the other side. They got good players, but they don't have Will Anderson and the potential there.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. And he, honestly, seeing him out there, he looked like he about the same size as a Miles Garrett.
Yes,
like,
he does.
He's a big type of dude. I seen Miles Garrett in person, mm-hmm. and I was just like, holy bleep. Like, this dude is just big for no reason. Yeah, Yeah, long arms. It's like somebody created him out of a lab.
Yeah.
And that's how Danielle Hunter looked, man. Danielle Hunter looked like somebody created him out of a lab. Like, I went to Matt and just say, let me get the 6'8 dude, fast.
Flat belly.
Yeah, arms big.
Yeah.
Like, I just created him in a lab. That's how Danielle Hunter looked,
It
man.
Is. It is. And I saw him walking onto the field with Shaq Mason, who's a big dude.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who's the little chubby kid?
Yeah, Shaq Mason looked like he could be somebody's bodyguard.
Yes.
Like Beyonce's bodyguard or something.
Yeah. Well, Nico Collins agrees with us. Nico had this to say about our guy Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, well, we went there. Of course, I'm saying
Danielle is so scary.
Yeah,
why is he so scary? I've never been so tense in an interview.
I mean, it's crazy, especially like when I line up in a cut split and I see him like arms width apart from me. I'm like, yo, just don't touch me.
I saw those arms. I was like, get away from me.
Dude was a beast, man. Amazing. You know, but I'm glad he's on my team.
Okay, yeah. I'm glad you're on this team and that you're smiling and happy and ready.
Man, That's an NFL player, a big Damn. NFL player.
Yeah,
like that's Nico Collins. That's a big dude. Like is in all of him. And you can be as big as you want, but I go back to the production. Like he had 16 and a half sacks last year.
Yeah,
in Minnesota, and I think part of it is he was in Minnesota. Like he's just that's just not a market where. You know, you don't have T.J. Watt and the Watt last name and J.J. is your brother and you don't have, you know, number one pick Myles Garrett and just an Adonis figure that played at a, you know, at a major, major school at A&M and Khalil Mack, UCLA guy that was a you know, hot commodity and all that. And you're in Minnesota. So I feel like this is a true they're sleeping on him kind of guy. Not that he's not great because he is. And I just laid it out. But I think people are sleeping on him.
I think so too. I wonder if it's because he's so quiet. Because because the other guys you named, they all had some type of contract thing where I want to be the highest paid defensive player or whatever. I never really heard that from Danielle Hunter. I could maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed like he's just very, very low key.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why nobody really discussing him as much.
No.
But if you look at his career, like if his career keep going the way it is, he's a Hall of Famer for sure.
Oh,
he's a Hall of Famer.
Especially if they start winning here.
Yeah.
If they start winning here like crazy, sure.
Yeah. See, he might like if they start winning here and they win the Super Bowl here and let's say he stay maybe two or three more years or something like that. He's probably going in right after JJ. Like he'd be the next person after JJ to go in as a Hall of Famer.
Well, it's hard to say, but I mean he's already in the midst of his career.
Yeah.
So he's going to be ending it sooner. But I'm telling you, all the things we're going to see tomorrow night. And of course we're all about the offense. I said it yesterday. I just can't wait to see these receivers. Stephon Diggs doesn't look like he's going to play, but you never know. But still, CJ with his receivers, Damian Pierce, going to be a huge game for him. We talked about that earlier. But, like, I want to see – just give me a glimpse here, man. Give me a glimpse of what we might be in store for. I mean, 16 and a half sacks.
Yeah.
That's, like, next level. In fact, Matt Burke, defensive coordinator Matt Burke, I mean, he sounded practically giddy talking about him.
It's funny. I mean, you talk about, like, Will and adding on weight, and he stands next to Daniel, and it's – I mean, you see the length difference. So like, for a guy that's that long and explosive, it's you almost have to like change your like perspective because like he's so explosive. He covers so much ground his first two steps. It sometimes doesn't even look like he's launching out. And then you pause the tape, and he's 4 yards in the backfield. You know what I mean? So like, he's done it for a long time. Obviously, he's very natural at doing that and rushing and just the ground that he can cover and the length he has from an extension standpoint. It's pretty special. He's pretty unique. So excited for him to keep going for sure.
I mean, that's Matt Burke who has been raving about Will Anderson, you know, losing this weight or whatever. It wasn't like Kenyon Green, but I'm saying he just changed his body. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And looking different and down to 262 or whatever it is. And he's like, yeah, stand him next to this dude and see what happens.
Yeah, I was looking at Will Anderson next to Danielle Hunter. And I'm like, damn, Will Anderson need to gain some weight, man. He look a little puny, man.
Yeah.
He need to step his game up. But I think it's just Danielle Hunter just being so cocky and big. And Will Anderson ain't small.
Yeah.
That dude ain't small. He got big. Like, it's funny seeing him in his rookie year and then now.
No, he's like, transformed.
Yeah. His face even look like a lineman.
Yeah.
So, man, it's good to have two of those guys.
Two of those guys. And you mentioned, like, you mentioned Will Anderson, but you also mentioned, you know, he's kind of his demeanor and he's just kind of low key, not soft spoken, but kind of monotone. I listened to this because he's actually going to talk about Will Anderson, and it's quite the compliment to Will Anderson, in fact. But I caught a real, like, Andre Johnson vibe because he doesn't, like, if you just listen to this, you're like, okay. But if you listen to his words, you're like, that's impressive.
What does Will Anderson bring? I mean, we saw what he brought last year, but in your eyes, as being that person opposite you that can sort of do the same thing maybe?
I think with Will, he's a far ahead of the game for somebody that's going into year two. You know, I see it every single day how he carries himself as a player and as a human being, and I'm very impressed because my years of being in the league, I've never seen anybody do such a thing. And the year he had last year, it was a phenomenal year, but I felt like this year, only the sky's the limit for him. You know, and being able to have the defensive line that we have with who we have inside and whoever is on the end, I feel like opposing offensive lines, they'll have to pick their poison. You know, because I feel like we got pretty much technicians all around the board. So we rush together as a unit.
Yeah, so think about, like, okay, when you heard that, like I said, you're kind of like, okay, whatever. But he just said, I've never seen anybody do what Will Anderson has done. I can't believe, you know, what we have with him on the other side. Like, his words resonate, and that's a guy that knows a thing or two about pass rushing.
Hey, that's a good thing, man. That's a very good thing, because Will Anderson, remember, he was a third overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
And to get somebody like a Danielle Hunter and have Will Anderson raving about you like that,
yeah,
I would hate to be the right tackle for any team.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Like, pick your poison.
And that's what he said, pick your poison. We haven't even mentioned, after the suspension, DeNico Autry's going to be in the middle.
That's somebody I was super excited to see. I was disappointed to see he got that 6-game suspension, but that's somebody I can't wait to see him when he get back.
Haven't mentioned that. Didn't even mention, we haven't even seen Christian Harris yet. That dude's going to be bringing it. Yeah. If Jalen Petrie is in the mix and he's better than we expect, throw him in the mix in terms of rushing the quarterback.
Yeah, they got some options, man. I'm fired up about this defense, man. We might be looking at top 10. I don't want to get too greedy, but top 5.
Kay Adams said top 5.
I'm going to go with top 5, man.
Kay Adams said top 5.
How can you have Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. and not be a top 5 defense?
All I'm saying, look, Ron and Clint are coming in right now. All I'm saying is we were all excited about Danielle Hunter when they got him. We were all talking about Danielle Hunter. And then it's kind of gone away. Like, we're not, like, I was listening to his interviews. I was listening to D'Amico and Burke talking about him. And they're talking about this dude. And when you look at the numbers, his sack numbers compare extremely favorably to, and not just like per game or whatever, no, his total sack numbers. Like, his last three seasons is his last three full seasons of playing football, he's had 41 sacks. Myles Garrett had 46 in his last three full seasons, and TJ Watt had 47. That ain't taking a back seat to those guys.
Yeah.
That ain't taking a back. I don't care what anybody says.
See, Figgy, this is when, like, this is when you put me in these positions, Figgy.
Oh, man. What did I do?
Where I gotta be the a-hole.
You're not.
And I gotta be
Tell
the
me.
One from Kansas City. And that I'm jealous.
Oh, we're going to talk about Chris Jones? We're going to talk about Chris Jones?
You ain't from here.
Saying, like, let's slow
you
down.
You ain't from here.
Top 5 defense.
No. We didn't say that.
I thought Kay Adams said that.
No, he said maybe.
How could you not be a top five?
I said maybe top 10. And to get ahead of myself, I said maybe top 5. She said top 5.
Yeah, she said top 5.
I mean, just, we got to hold our horses.
Well, you got to realize Kay was just sitting right next to him, and she was
in the moment.
He is one of those human beings that when he sits down, kind of like Myles Garrett, when he walks in a room and sits down or just walks in and you're talking to him, you're like,
are we the same species?
Well, you're right.
Like, wow. I doubt if I'm the same species when I see a guy
like
him.
I was cheated at birth.
Yes.
I mean, what in the hell happened? Hey, real quick, I'm not going to be like these other guys, Lopez, and sit around here and talk to you. You got a booger hand at that left nostril.
Now, that's a friend.
I missed it. I'm telling you, man.
You got it.
I sure would have told you.
Look at me again. Check up.
You can drop it, man. You can drop by my house anytime you want.
Figgy been sitting for hours, man. I didn't see it.
I would have told you. I stopped traffic.
I appreciate that more than the booger hand out of my
house. Listen, I like. I think they're going to be potentially a better defense than they were last year.
Yeah.
But Danielle Hunter and Will have a chance to be a hell of a tandem. That inside is still something very much to question. The second cornerback situation, the overall, absolutely, I agree. Before we get to, like, if you remember, especially like last year, we're talking top 5. That's like Baltimore.
Yeah.
That's like what San Francisco was.
I totally
was
agree. My point on this, Clint, is, like, we're talking about C.J. Stroud might take another step. Stephon Diggs might, you know, kind of reach that level again. Tank Dell might this. He might that. He might that. Daniil Hunter is. He might not might this, might that. He already is.
Yeah.
Like one of the best pass rushers in the game.
I mean, look, it's hard to deny.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at the production,
mm-hmm.
It's hard to deny. So we'll see. I mean, hopefully he can continue that in a new place, which is H-Town. We'll see how all that works out.
Yeah, man. It's pretty exciting times. What's going on?
Yeah, it is.
Just trying to get my computer to work, baby. It's on the slash legs.
Hey, man.
Buy a new one.
Slash legs, baby.
I just bought a new one.
What'd you get?
I got the... I forget the name
of it.
Is it
an iPad laptop? Is it just a laptop?
Yeah, a laptop.
Okay.
It's a Microsoft one.
Gotcha.
It's well worth the price, dude. It's a game changer.
Rod feels like the game changes every day when he gets in here with that old equipment.
They're hard to
ride it out, baby.
They're hard to let go.
He doesn't need them shells that the NFL is talking about these guys wearing in games. He doesn't need those shells.
I keep telling myself this is gonna be the day.
1952
Lenovo.
Okay.
Yeah. Lenovo 15.8. Touchscreen, too.
Nice.
Badass.
This might be the day.
This is the day. All right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.